sleepiness won't be affected. You know when you have you ever had that brain fog when you're trying to grab a word out? It's like, thank you for praying. Because of your prayers, I could feel the Holy Spirit carry me. Had 14 different flights, made them all by grace of God. And like I said, because of the way it worked, I didn't have to go to the East Coast, so I didn't have to get delayed. We carried this transferable sound. And then when we were in that one place where all the church was built by Randy Needy, and they're in intercession because they were unstopping the well. Wednesday night, if you can come back, I want to lay hands on everybody because I woke up this morning hearing God say a couple of things very important. He talked about the chosen prayer being the prayer of intercession from the heavenly realm that's now changing the way we're advancing. And you see, it's a big word, mansion prayer being mansion prayer being the abiding prayer, the practice of abiding. I abide in Christ, Christ abides in me. I abide in Jesus, his words abide in me. Wednesday, we're going to focus on activating our lives into that new realm. See, the thing is, everything we're doing is leading us to experience Jesus in a more sustaining fashion, where he is our other everything and our dependence is upon him. And when we grow in that realm, we can start receiving what we're trying to do and no longer do it, but just receive it. But it takes prayer. I believe one of the things God wants to reactivate in every one of our lives today is the prayer, the practice of prayer. And if we were to set a goal of practice in prayer, to pray an hour a day. Not because of a duty and not as of a discipline. It may start as a discipline. It may feel like a duty. But it's meant to enter into a delight. The thing is, what's happening now and what I saw on this trip is that we're entering into a display of Jesus Christ that will not be able to be grasped by a carnal mind or a fleshly effort. You know, a natural mind processes things through the soulish realm, and a fleshly effort, it resources our own giftings and our own abilities. And they may get us engaged into the practice of faith, but they can't take us to the victory that Christ has for us. Only that abiding practice where we come inside of a posture of surrender. When you saw the ladies and men in the church just engaged, we had just talked about water. Because water is, in last year in Turkana County, there was such a famine. UN, there's big UN preparation for this year, which we're still praying. We are praying that they will have rain like we've gotten rain. But in that region, it's a nomadic people that are dependent upon rain, and they lost many herds. And the well that we're trying to dig is so that the water can flow and actually grow crops, and you can start sustaining your life inside the land. But in that little church, the word of the Lord came about the Samaritan woman at the well, and how... And what the word came, and I wasn't planning, I'm just trying to find the Lord and talking to him, it was about the unstopping of the well. That our wells get stopped up. Because Jesus said, if you believe, and we have an experience with Jesus, it becomes like a well of living water inside of us. It bubbles up into eternal life. But if we, in Revelation 7, it says Jesus will continue to lead us to fountains of living water. So one experience with Jesus will last until the next experience. But if in between the experiences we get hurt or wounded or confused or neglect, we can find that our well just stops up. And what we were enjoying, we're no longer enjoying, and we don't know how to get to the next place to receive the living water. And that was that pouring out. There was like a breaker. Because what Jesus looks to do is find us where we are, encounter us in truth of who we are and who he is, and then in the exchange moment, water starts flowing again. And I prayed that, and I want to pray that over every one of us, because that's one of the gifts. The first part of the trip was water, everything about living water. So if you would stand with me, I want to just ask God to open the wells. Would you like your well to get open again? Spring up with living water. All the way to Revelation 21, there's a promise of water to whoever's thirsty. So it wasn't a one drink, one time. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as believers, wells, but we also come now as sheep. And we ask Jesus, would you lead us to the new encounter of living water? Would you lead us to the next fountain of living water prepared for us to drink of? Would you begin to cause our thirst to be satisfied in you and you alone? In the name of Jesus, we come to you and we ask that you would even encounter us honestly. Even if that you open up a door of conversation that we'd rather not have, that you begin to release us without condemnation, without guilt and shame. You actually dismantle the structures of hiding. In the name of Jesus, break apart the hiding structures that are limiting us from the drinking and living and vibrant life experience with you. And unplug our wells and get the water to flow again in the name of Jesus. We declare right now that the water would begin to flow. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Come alive. Come alive. Come forth, Holy Spirit. Come forth, living waters. Come forth, Lord Jesus. Meet each one of us. Meet me here, Lord. Just say that. Meet me here. Meet me here. Meet me here. Yes, Lord. Whoa. Yes, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, you may be seated. Psalm 2 was the psalm that God gave me on the way into London, and it carried all the way through Jerusalem. It's a psalm that I believe is super prophetic in what is happening in the world today. And I, Commonwealth Church, which is a beautiful people that came with the name Commonwealth, which originated in Britain when the colonies, you know, the colonized nations began to gain their independence. Was be the British Commonwealth. Today it's called the Commonwealth of Nations, and it encompasses 1/3 of the population of the earth. Right now, amongst the 53 Commonwealth nations, they're trying to sort out what are they going to do when the Queen passes, because they have pledged their leadership to the Queen, but that is not an automatic anymore. So there's actually conversations that are about, well, maybe we'll become our own kind of identity, maybe we'll select a leader or a team from within. And it caught my attention February 13th when that article I read came out in BBC. And once I saw that, the Lord took me to Psalm 2 and began to speak to me about the struggle that's going on in the earth today. And not in regard to the Commonwealth of Nations, but in regard to all of mankind submitting to Jesus Christ. And when how we often lose our place. So I'm going to read through that. And then I want to go to the next scripture in Ephesians 3, which we practice both in... Let's just go on. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers, they take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break the bonds, their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heaven shall laugh, and the Lord will hold them in derision. Now, we can look at that and go, that's really great to know. But when you're in the middle of upheaval and disruption and displacement, you really have to make an intentional effort, which is where prayer comes in, to get onto verse 4. Because when you're in verse 3, it feels like the kings are winning. I sat in Jerusalem with Jan and Gregory. We visited Rebecca Morgan and Ilona, who runs one of the leaders of the youth village. We enjoyed Purim and dressing up. We met with Larry and Napier and Thea for a day of just in the scripture, in the word, and discovery and hearing his stories. Incredible history there. Then we met the next morning with John and Una, who have been in our church a number of times, who have lived in Jerusalem for 20 years, who have lived with a tourist visa coming in and out of the land for every 90 days and impacting the world with the message of Jerusalem and Israel and great favor in Southeast Asia. But all of a sudden, they were told they could no longer be in the land. And tomorrow, Monday, they will be leaving to reapply for a visa in a different way, but they have to leave the country. So this was like, had happened in a 2-week period. They showed up and they were on their passports. They were given 2 weeks to be in the land. And they own, you know, they live in homes. They actually have a house of prayer in the city of David. They've got four rentals, they've got car, they've got a team of people, and now they're being told, you just have to leave. So they're in faith, and we're engaged having conversation. Also, Lisa Miara, who has a ministry called Springs of Hope, that we've had her here, who began as her son was brutally almost killed through a terrorist attack, and out of just the necessity of trying to rise up from the shame and the blame and the craziness of that, she began to find herself helping thousands of people, Israelis who have gone through the craziness of a terrorist attack, even to the larger world, which it's funny, but not really. I mean, it's not surprising that the greatest victims of terrorism is Muslims, because it's the warring within the factions and the bombing, and anybody who's an infidel, benefits are given if you kill them. So it's an insanity. But 3 years ago, when ISIS rose up in Syria and Iraq, they began to displace the, now there goes one of those words. No, it's Sabatabah, it's in here. The Yazidi, thank you, the Yazidi people, which were kind of an offshoot of Islam, but they are considered infidels, so they started destroying them, genocide, taking the women, selling them, putting them in sex traffic, all things we've heard about in the northern part of Iraq and northern part of Syria. She began to visit, and what started as one visit began to become an NGO, houses, outreach, rescuing people from slavery. And in fact, the latest thing she's currently is building a house for the young women that have been raped and now carrying children, that the Yazidi people don't know what to do with them. They're not ready to receive them, and they're not ready to give up their children. And so the whole world is in disruption. So all three are sitting in Jan and Gregory's living room. We're listening to the story. We're hearing the voice of God. We're praying into that. Because now she has been going in and out through Turkey, and found out on her way out of Turkey that she got a black stamp on her passport, and she can never come through Turkey again. Because Turkey, as you know, has risen up to get rid of the Kurds, that's the Yazidi people, and more. And now they are in war within this, you know, saying the Kurdish, you know, they're attacking the terrorists, and the worlds are, you know, we're kind of trying to figure out, what do we do? Everybody's saying, stop doing it, and it's, in her mind, it's going to just most likely escalate into regional conflict with Iraq and Syria, in conflict with Turkey and most likely Iran, who now pretty much occupies has access throughout Syria and Iraq. It's just going to escalate. So we're sitting there, and I've been on my way to London, and this psalm is just coming alive. Why do the nations rage? And why are they trying to get free? And thinking of the Commonwealth of Nations, thinking, well, I think I'm going to have my own independence, and maybe we'll decide what we want to do. And other nations in disruption. I kept hearing disruption, hisruption, displacement, his placement. And can you imagine you're just doing what you do every day, and one day you're told you can't come back and do it? I mean, we're in America, feel so, you know, entitled to whatever we're doing that we can't envision having an authority deny us access or tell us we have to leave. Although we know we have friends who are feeling that same pressure right now in our country, because we're saying that we've got to get rid of you, you're not allowed in here. So the whole world's in chaos. And I'm in Jerusalem, I'm in London, and I'm hearing the Lord say, I have a place that is ultimate and total victory, but you have to come up to it. Because he says, he who sits in heavens shall laugh. There's a lot of times I'm crying my eyes out until I get into the presence and into the promise and into his place. And then I start to laugh because I see it from the place that Jesus is sitting. So he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Remember, the war was against the Lord and against his anointed? That's Jesus. And here, Father is declaring, I have set my king, which is I have poured out my anointing oil upon my king on my holy hill of Zion. which is the same holy hill that the disciples were gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost when Jesus was coronated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as high priest. When the Spirit was given to him, it poured out upon the rest of his body. And this is the place of dominion, victory, and triumph. While the nations are raging and everyone's trying to free themselves from what they feel is like an ungodly control. So then the Lord speaks, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. In the scriptures of the New Testament, this verse, chapter 2, verse 7, is quoted continually to validate the prophetic promise that God would raise up his son, Jesus, in from the only begotten Son of God, conceived of a virgin, to the firstborn pulled out of the abyss through the calling of a son into a whole realm of inheritance, which we are being conformed to. So we're all learning the glorified Christ. We're all having to reshift our imagery to someone sitting on a throne next to the Father, someone who is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, who's carrying this massive role of authority. And this verse, I'm having a brain fog right now, just so I'll come back. This verse is that the Son, all of a sudden, is elevated. And then he told them, ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. And the ends of the earth for your possession. And you will break them with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. And what is happening, even though it looks like the world is falling, is coming apart at the seams, it's about to come under the lordship of Christ in powerful visitation. But it cannot happen if the church stays where we are, which is just kind of stuck in our stuff. Stuck in our soul, stuck in our sorrow, stuck in our problems, stuck in our, until God does this, I won't do that. All the conditions we've placed on him and ourselves. So now, therefore, be wise, O kings. And be instructed, you judges of the earth. Now, this is for all of us because we're all kings. That's the beauty of democracy, right? Where every man is a king of his own castle. We have all been given authority to rule over ourselves. So there's a statement to all of us. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Enter into that regard for him, both in service and joy. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Some of us have heard Diana declaring that statement in the last few weeks. Kiss the Son. It's time to kiss the Son. It has the imagery of passion, submission, of yielding, of homage, of recognition of who you are, the Son of God. You are the Lord. You carry your authority. And I don't want to perish in the way. I don't want to be in the middle of your wrath when it's kindled. And then the promise is, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. The word trust is to put your come into the refuge that God has created. So I'm talking in London, and I'm explaining this, and I'm watching people going, yeah, I get that, but how do I get there? I get it, but how do I get there? I mean, I see what you're talking about, but I don't know how to move beyond where I am. So I took them to Ephesians 3, which the Lord dropped in my spirit while I was flying in from Nairobi, and it never went away. And I'd like to take us here, and then Wednesday we will do a more intentional effort. You see, we do see Christ, and we're rejoicing in what he's done, and somewhere we're given the gift of faith that awakens us to trust, and we receive, and we're born again. From that, we're given and beckoned to pursue and grow up into maturity. And the Lord is preparing a mature bride for his son. So things are really starting to go faster. And yet you can't grasp what God's doing with our head alone. And we can't do what God wants done with our will alone. We really need to have an experience with the resurrected, glorified Christ in a fashion where we're not reading about him, we're experiencing him. So I want to show you what I did inside of London, and I want us to have a moment to take advantage. In Ephesians, you have from chapter 1, verse 15, you have a glorious apostolic prayer that Paul prays. And when you pray that prayer, you open yourself up to discover what he was talking about in the first 14 verses, which is all that Christ has accomplished in his resurrection. Then, chapter 2, he expands the imagery of that to the one new man and to the holy habitation that God has created us to become. Then, in chapter 3, he goes so far as to talk about the mystery that's been hidden from ages has now been made known to the church, and we, the church, are going to declare the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers. And trust me, just to read those three chapters is a wealth, and please try to do so before Wednesday, because it's like, whoa! But when we start to pray the verses, when we start to engage in practicing of abiding in Jesus, his word abiding in us, something happens. Our intellect lets go of the requests we're putting on it to grapple with what it means. And our spirit begins to rise in the experience of what these words mean. We start to eat the word, and the word starts to manifest life in us. Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing, John 6. The words I speak to you are spirit and life. It had happened that he was telling people, you have to eat my body and drink my blood. Now, to any of us, but to especially a Jewish believer, you do not drink blood. Now, the rest of the Western culture, except for a few nations, do not drink blood. Some nations still strangle their animals and then cook them because the blood then is in the carcass and it's just that much more juicy and tasty. But for the most part, the Western culture has accepted that we do not eat things with blood because the life is in the blood. The life of the soul is in the blood. There's something unique. And so when Jesus is saying to the disciples, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, it is like tilt. And I don't know about you, but that's when you start advancing with Jesus. If you're going to follow him, he's going to just offend your mind. The old saying was, God offends our mind to reveal our heart. And their heart was in control and conflict, and they were not surrendering or submitting. Meditation. Meditation is on the scripture inside of going through it, chewing it like a cow with its cud, you know, digesting it and swallowing it and regurgitating it and practicing it, imagining, experiencing it. And the more we do that meditation, we then become what we're meditating. It's like a practice of enlarging our spirit and our heart to run. Where do I meditate? Meditate where you need God to come, or where you're offended at his word, or where he's leading you into. Scriptures are not things we just read and learn. Scriptures are things we behold and become. And that's the practice of prayer. So you can now appreciate when we get to verse 14. After three, I mean, this is like kind of stuff that will make your, trust me, I mean, it's the long sentences. And you lose half the time who's talking about who. And men have given their life to those three chapters just to discover the fullness of the church and in Christ. And now all of a sudden Paul is just closing it with a prayer. And I want us to see it and experience it for a moment as not words, but as one leads to the next, to the next, to the next. And we'll close by practicing each one of them, or allowing ourselves to receive each step. Begins when he says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Everything we need, everything we are desiring in life, whether it is place, position, title, fulfillment of callings, inheritances, is found in the riches of his glory. His grace is found in his glory. His wealth is found in his glory. Everything we need is inside his glory, which we'll see in Philippians is inside of Christ. So now Paul is asking the Father, our Father, Father of Jesus, to grant according to the riches of his glory. So he's resourcing glory that we would be strengthened with might. So we're sitting here in Camarillo. Glory is sitting next to the Father, and the face of Jesus is the glory of God. And God says, I'd like to strengthen you with might. I'm going to strengthen you with might where you are, in the life you're living, in the circumstance you're walking through. I want to strengthen you with might. I'm going to do it through my Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, who was given to us, poured upon the head of Jesus at coronation, is now the outpouring of bringing the glorified Christ into our life. And so when the Holy Spirit goes and says, okay, Father, I'm going to bring from the riches of the glory of your grace in Christ. I'm going to now begin to bring the strength and might that's found there, and I'm going to place it inside the inner man of your people. Not the outer man. Always look for the inner man encounter. The outer man will follow or maybe not follow. The outer man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed. So never allow your inner man to be held hostage by your outer man's complaint. I mean, you got to get over your outer man, because your outer man is going to complain all the rest of its life because it's going down to the dust. Your inner man is getting up into heaven. So strengthen with might through his Spirit. So from the riches of glory comes the strength of might through the Holy Spirit into my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. You see, we always, you know, we throw that around all the time. Have you received Jesus? Where's Jesus? He's in my heart. That's where we get that verse. He's in my heart. But he's in my heart by faith. And this radical, glorified Christ to dwell inside of my little dinky heart has to come forth out of the strength that comes from the riches that is communicated through the Spirit into my inner man, so that I cannot live in the fleshly mindset of limitation, but rise up unto the unlimited victory of Jesus Christ. And that's what prayer is doing. And look, beloved, I'm going to be honest, it takes probably at least an hour. 20 years ago, I came up with how do I help people pray? Because no one's praying. It's just more than people know how. Some do because somehow they do. So I said, just pray 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And that's like, I'm just taking it back. Forget it. You got to pray an hour a day. You got to separate yourself with something. Cut out a TV show, take out an extra hour of prayer, do something. You know, if you went to a gym, they'd expect at least that much from you. And that's just for your outer man. So, but again, prayer, because it's mostly a petition-based prayer, I need this, help me here, I need that, help me here, and not a beholding, entering into, experiencing God in his glorified realm of heaven, can be either boring or a lot of work. But when we encounter, so here we are in prayer. Paul's praying, Father, I'm coming to you. I live here. I ask out of the riches of your glory now that you would, by the Holy Spirit, he's the one who's going to bring from the riches of glory. There's strength and there's might. There's dunamis and energy. And I want it to come through the Holy Spirit, bring it down and place it in the inner man. And then as the inner man is energized and filled with power, then Christ can dwell in a house. He's not living in this like wimpy little people. Oh, God, help me. You don't love me. You don't care for me. See, most of us want God to live in our soul. Our soul is really messed up. Right? Our souls are stuck in stuff, stuck in habits, stuck in condemnation, stuck in disappointment, offenses, woundedness. We're just stuck. And if you try to get Christ in your soul, you hold him hostage, because your soul will put demands on him to solve this and resolve this and fix this and help me here. And I want to feel good. And nothing bad about feeling good, but there's a life source that your spirit man carries that can override your soulish complaint. And even when your soul is complaining, your spirit man starts rising and joy will overtake your soul, and your soul will be happy in spite of itself. So here it is. Now the inner man's being strengthened with might. Now Christ is dwelling in my heart by faith, that I could be rooted and grounded in love. So the Christ in my heart, by faith, being strengthened with might in my inner man through the Holy Spirit's community, bringing the riches of his, out of the riches of glory, strength, then there comes the capacity to put roots into love. This is just a prayer. But it's not a prayer anymore to me about information of how God operates. It's a prayer of experience. So after faith starts to rise, Christ starts to dwell, the next thing I start to encounter is love. And I tell you, beloved, if you've ever felt the love of God in a moment by yourself in prayer, you will never chase love until you forgot the love you once experienced. Then you'll seek it other ways. You won't want to get married. You won't need to have this. Everything will be a bother. Seriously, everything will be a bother if you've ever tasted the love of God. You'll not be sitting there going, oh, I just wish somebody recognized me. You'll go, get out of, I just hope nobody sees me. I just want to be with God. You see, we're running around in deficits. We need to be overcomers in victory. And that's this place. So love, we go rooted, grounded in love. Then we can comprehend. Now catch this. This is where all of us are coming to, that we may be back verse 18. There, I thought I had a brain freeze. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the length, the depth, the height. We know we live in a three-dimensional world. The fourth dimension of depth is the whole capacity of this spiritual, experiential understanding. And we're going to all come into the saints to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So we can experience the love of God that can never be experienced in one experience. We can know something that we just have to go into another realm of love. Every hurt, every disappointment, every setback, every betrayal is a door into an experience in the love of God. Every trial is ended with a outpouring of love into our heart. And so you go, I want to have more love, God. I want to know love. Then get ready for some rejection. Because what is he going to, there's the contrast is his love is greater than. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. So this experiential love that can never be experienced in one experience is happening inside of us. And when that begins to take root, we start filling up. We start filling up with God. You want to be full? You got to experience God in love. You want to get experience God in love? Christ got to be in your heart by faith. Christ's going to dwell in your heart by faith. You've got to get strength in strong in the inner man. Going to get strong in your man, you need the Holy Spirit's help. Holy Spirit needs to go from the riches of glory and pour out the strength into your inner man. The inner man then begins to have a capacity to say, you know what? I do agree with Jesus Christ. I may have just had this happen, that happen, this may be happening, that may. I agree with Jesus Christ. I let Jesus Christ be Lord, my forgiver, my healer, my deliverer. You see, that's dwelling by faith. Then love. Woo! Because Jesus said in John 14, he says, if you will value the words I've spoken, if you'll keep them, then you are my disciple and I and my Father will love you. You can't experience God's love without faith in what God did in Jesus Christ. You see, he will woo us, but if he's going to mature us, it's a whole different ball game. We have to accept what God gave us in his Son as complete, fully vested victory. And when we do, the first fruit is we become aware of love. And if we taste that love, we don't need anything else. You don't need someone to recognize you. You don't need your husband to remember you on your Valentine's Day. You don't need your boss to give you a raise. Come on. We're soulish. We're so soulish. And we think, why are we tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine? Because we're soulish and we're looking for fulfillment on the outside, not the inside. There's wonderful times of fulfillment on the outside, but who cares? If you're touching the inside of God and he says, your praise is from him. And if you can have praise from him, he can put you in rejection so he can release life through you. But this is Paul. He's just grasping something. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above what we can ask or imagine, according to the power that's working in us. You see, we think that God just says, yeah, I can do anything. Okay, God, do something. Well, I need a power source. You're not it. You're not it. If God decides he's going to prosper you, does he look at your bank account to see how much you have? To see if he can pull it off. If he just looks to someone who will listen to his voice so that he can access what they have. If he wanted to, he said to Elijah, I'm sending you to Zipporah because there's a widow there who will take care of you. Elijah's thinking, this is great. I'm going to have a rich widow helping me. Meets a woman who's gathering her last meal with her and her son to die. And the prophet steps in and says, I want something to eat. He says, well, this is my last meal. He says, fine, but just give me something first. Because God didn't need a resource of the woman. He needed faith. He needed an access point. And she responded. So when power, which came from heaven through the Holy Spirit, that's dwelling in our inner man, Christ dwelling, living in our heart, we growing in this love experience, it's just getting massive, that's filling us up with God. Now all of a sudden, this power source, God says, okay, go ahead, ask me. Ask me for Kurdistan. Ask me to shift the nation. Ask me for rain. Ask me for the souls of men. Ask me. I can do anything. Imagine. How far can you imagine my power to go? See, we're praying from power versus weakness. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. The bride will mirror Jesus in glory. Christ has been glorified. We are going to grow up into the glory of Christ. And Father will receive an increase of glory through the maturity of the church. And we're being brought up in that maturity. So let's stand up and let's just initiate this prayer. So, hallelujah. Place yourself before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all the families in the earth are named, and heaven and earth. The tribe of Jubilee is here. We found ourselves on earth. Whew. Now, Father, we ask you, according to your riches and glory, you would strengthen us with might through your Spirit in our inner man. So open your mind to see and receive this transaction. Father accesses the riches of his glory seen in the face of Jesus, the glorified Christ, the head of the body. He then releases from the riches of glory strength and might. To whom, Holy Spirit, the outpouring of this goodness and glory begins to communicate it into our inner man. So let's receive. Receive in your inner man. Doesn't matter if you know where he is or not. Just receive by faith. Lord, Holy Spirit, I receive strength and might in my inner man. I receive. Say that. I receive strength and might through your Spirit from your riches of glory into my inner man. I receive from the riches of your glory to be strengthened with might through your Holy Spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith. Go ahead, feel to become aware that Christ is dwelling. Christ is here, is the glorified Son of God, the high priest of our confession, dwelling. Become aware. He said, if you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sit with you. He's here. Welcome him. Welcome, Jesus. Again, it's by faith. I know it's a practicing, but it's in the Spirit, truth begins to abound. So let it just continue with me. Jesus is here by faith. Say this, Christ dwell in my heart. You are dwelling in my heart by faith. You are here in my heart by faith. And I am being rooted and grounded in love. Lord, let the love of God now pour into our heart by the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 5. It's another way the love is rooted and grounded and displayed is by Holy Spirit. So here he is. He's pouring strength and might into our being, Christ dwelling by faith. Now love pouring into our heart. Come on, receive love. It's not from your house, husband. It's not from your wife. It's not from your pastor. It's not from your president. It's not from your anybody, everybody. It's from Jesus. Love, love, liquid, glorious, kind, and generous love drives out fear and is inseparable from all problems. Holy Spirit, we're asking you now to help us have a comprehension of width, length, depth, and height of this love. It's beyond knowing in any one time, but we're asking for a knowing moment now. Go ahead, Diana. Let the love of God come, because there's a fullness coming right now in worship. Come on, let him come. Let the love, he's pouring. Yes, more love, more love, more love. Yeah, you're not alone. You don't have to be afraid. You will always be cared for. Life has promises and they're beautiful, but this is the substance of everything, Jesus and his love for us. Taking over every part of life, swallowing up every fear. You're accepted in the beloved. You are living in love. You are before him in love. You will never be sent away. You are accepted. You are justified and glorified, and you are loved. Receive his love.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
Here we go. Let the exchange take place.
My hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it.
Yeah, you see, we praise.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. All the glory, all of the glory belongs to you. All of the glory belongs to you. Even though you're living in me, all of the glory belongs to you. You and me and you, all of the glory belongs to
now,
you.
Now let us as the bride sing, all of your love comes to me.
All of your love comes to me.
Let him pour. We're agreeing.
All of your love that comes to me.
Come on. Yeah, he's eclipsing problems right now.
All of your love that comes to me.
To the place of rejection or fear or breached and brokenness.
All of your love that comes to me.
Let it keep coming.
How you love me. How you love me. How you love me, oh. How you love me, oh. How you love me, oh. How you love, how you love me, all of your love.
How you love me, how you love me, oh, thank you, Lord.
How you love me.
All of your fullness fills me.
All of your fullness fills me. All of your fullness fills me, Lord. All of your fullness, it fills me.
All of it, look, just get large.
All of your fullness, it fills me. All of your fullness.
See, we're meditating right now with song.
How I love you. 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 How you love me. How you love me. How you love me. How you love me. How you love me.
with us together. Lord, Father God, we declare you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that's inside us. Right now, within us, the Holy Spirit, the power communicated, given to us from the riches of your glory in Christ, strengthened with might. This place inside, you can do anything. I imagine your goodness touching my life. I imagine your goodness reaching the world. I imagine victories being breaking forth and lives being liberated and Satan's hands being spoiled and losing the grip of his souls that he's captured. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly. You are able. You are able. You are able. You are able. You are able.
You are able.
You are able.
Yes,
rising
you are.
Up, yeah.
You are able. You are able.
You are able.
See it.
You are able.
Declare to you that you would receive glory in your church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. So we say, Father, may your glory be enlarged. May it be by Jesus Christ. May you receive greater glory in the church today. May you be glorified in your church. Receive glory by Jesus Christ to all generations, to all generations.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Now we know what we're singing.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
Without end.
You deserve it. All the glory.
All the glory.
All the glory.
All the glory.
All the honor.
All the honor.
All the praise.
All the praise.
All the glory.
All the glory.
All the honor.
All the honor.
All the praise.
All the praise.
All the glory.
As we go, collect yourself inside of this place in the Scripture, in spirit and truth. Collect yourself. Tomorrow, go back and pray it again and experience it again. And come the next day, go back and pray it again. Experience it again. You can't wear out Scripture. And Wednesday, come back. We're going to lay hands on everyone. We're going to activate this new level of prayer and expansive increase. Lord, Holy Spirit, you're the sealer of truth and you're the Spirit of promise. and you're the guarantee of the inheritance until the full redemption of the purchased possession, till everything comes to fulfillment. So go with us, seal us, and help us tomorrow in our next adventure in the Spirit of God and the truth of God. And activate these things for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you want prayer, come on up.